Congress passes a farm bill every 4 years or so that contains a wide variety of farm policies. The farm bill dates back to 1933 as part of Franklin D. Roosevelt's New Deal. Fast forward to today, lawmakers on Capitol Hill have been working on the multi-year farm bill for months now. Committees are expected to get down to serious work on it. We're talking about the farm bill and what millennials think about a career in farming on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We'll begin the hour with Phil Durst. He is a senior educator with Michigan State University Extension. He works with farmers to meet their goals. Phil, welcome to the program.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Why is the farming business model, why do you see it as the right fit for the millennial generation?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I've been in agriculture a long time, and in the last 10 to 15 years, I've really seen young people coming back to the farm to say, I want to be a part of this business. I think there's a lot of things that they see in that, but, you know, some of it's part of it is owning your own business and being able to manage something yourself. I think there's a challenge to it, the challenge of being a profitable business. There's the mission of producing quality food that's so important to them. There's a lifestyle of raising their family on the farm, and there's a chance to be some part of something big and growing. So I think those are reasons why we're seeing young people turning back to the farm.
Of course, families have a complicated process they have to go through to transfer a farm from one generation to the next. How does the size of a farming operation change what it means to be a young farmer?
Yeah, that's a really important point because as we transferred less valuable properties in the past, it wasn't as big a deal, but the value of farms has really increased. So we're talking about a business that has a net worth of $1 million plus, and that plus can be plus. And so transferring that kind of assets is a big deal because it's not just transferring something that enables that person to go on, but has an impact on the whole family. Certainly the generation that transfers it expects it to support them, but then there's other siblings maybe that aren't in farming, and how do we compensate them? How do we take care of them as well, too? So that challenge of transferring an operation that's large is a big issue for farms today.
Do you see a lot of farmland in transition across the U.S. today?
Sure. Not every farm will be transferred to the next generation. In some cases, the children don't want to go into farming, or they've elected to go into some other aspect of agriculture, some other business of agriculture, or to some other field. So sometimes farms don't transfer to the next generation. There is a demand for farmland today. There certainly is no doubt that farmland values have risen over the past number of years. Now, they may take the ups and downs in that time period, but still the value of farmland keeps going up, and farms are in transition as young people come back to farm. This is my rule of thumb, is I encourage young farmers to have some ownership stake by the age of 30. That's a pretty young age, but to have some ownership stake in that business by age 30, and then to work toward a transfer of that farm by the time that they're 40.
What are the biggest barriers to becoming a farmer these days?
Well, because it is a big business and because margins are very thin, and right now in dairy, which I work with primarily, we're looking at margins that are thin or negative. Those are very big barriers. The other aspect of it is very demanding. To own a business, to manage a business, the demands on a person are very high. Obviously, businesses employ people, and employing people is a difficult challenge. Managing a workforce that you select from among those who aren't career oriented, maybe, or who aren't as educated as others going to professions, is a challenge for people. And so that's demanding work, and those are some of the challenges that young people are facing.
Talking right now with Phil Durst. He is a senior educator with Michigan State University Extension, talking about farming today, young people getting into the industry. Are you a farmer? What crops do you grow or what livestock do you raise? How did you get started on the farm? Was it a family operation? Why did you stick with it? 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. We know that Wisconsin lost 500 dairy farms last year. Is that a bad thing, or is that a natural progression? How the industry evolves?
Well, it's both. It's a bad thing because every time a farm goes out of business, that is, they decide to sell the cows, disperse the herd, that's a heart-wrenching thing for a family. Whether or not there's any children that wanted to farm or not, it's still a heart-wrenching thing. Sometimes that occurs because they simply can't make it financially. Other times it occurs because they just don't have the options. But even in any case, it's always a sad thing for that family. However, there has been a natural progression of fewer farms that are larger. And so we deal all the time with the fact that fewer larger farms is where we're going. I don't know about that rate for Wisconsin, but I know that here we in Michigan, we're losing farms right now a little faster because of the current economic conditions.
Isn't the Farm Bill supposed to protect farmers from low commodity prices and economic conditions that are very unfavorable that might happen in a cycle?
Well, that's a good way to think about the Farm Bill. I don't think it does that fully. It does it in part. The days of protecting a price that farmers said is a price that we can live with really have been long gone. What the Farm Bill does is it sets producers up with some kind of extreme protection measures for extreme situations, but it doesn't really care for the fact that low prices are still going to soak their ability to continue.
What about how technology has changed farming operations? We've seen combines that are more high-tech than computer control systems, in industries. I mean, how does technology factor into millennials also getting into the industry in modern farming?
Yeah. So millennials have grown up with technology. They've been technology natives, I think the word is. And so they understand they can use technology and can adopt technology faster than their parents' generation. They have the ability to see where the technology can be used and what they can gain from that. And we see that agriculture is really going high-tech in many ways. And, part of that is for monitoring, part of that is for managing, to give you the information to manage better, whether it's to manage the herd better, manage the crops better. There's just that great information that can come from that, and that's added to their capability to succeed in the business.
Let's go to Aaron, who is a millennial farmer. Hi, Aaron. What's your story?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to share some of my experiences I've had the last couple of years starting out in farming. I'm 27 years old, and I'd never farmed before. I was always interested in farming, but I managed to find a family friend who owned a farm that wanted to get out of the business. They were willing to do a land contract with me, as opposed to me having to take out a gigantic mortgage in order to afford it. That was a really important part of that transition, is they were willing to work with me so that I could actually afford to purchase the farm. I got some cost share assistance from Natural Resource Conservation Service that helped me put in some of my beginning infrastructure, and I chose a business model that didn't require a lot of money up front but has high margins. So I raise grass-fed beef. All it takes is some fence, some water, and some cattle. I don't need any big, fancy, expensive equipment, and I get a nice profit from that. So I just want to encourage millennial farmers to seek out those farmers that that are trying to get a business and don't take on huge loads of debt and find a business that works for you, for your lifestyle, and you can actually make some money at. Don't follow the commodity cowboy path of corn and soybeans.
Aaron, thank you so much for your story. And Phil, as we wrap up, what do you make of Aaron's story getting into farming?
Well, Aaron, I think, first of all, go get it, man. Congratulations. Follow your dream and go to it in a way that you can be successful. I think that's fantastic. I also want to salute the person who he worked with, who was willing to work with him on transferring the farm and helping him get started. That person was critical to the story as well, too. But I think Aaron's right, is that there's opportunities there, and you find the right opportunity for you and pursue it and go in it with your eyes wide open, get information, keep learning every single day of your life, and you can make a great business of this.
Phil, thanks for being with us. Phil Durst is a senior educator with Michigan State University Extension. We're talking about farming. 800-642-1234. Your story right after this news. Some estimates are saying that two-thirds of our farmland is ready to transition to a new generation of farmers. As millennials look at a career in farming, they're having to consider how to buy land that's affordable. They're juggling student debt and many other issues around being in business for yourself. Do you consider yourself a young farmer? Tell us your story about getting into the business and learning to farm. Maybe you've been farming your whole life. What do you want young farmers just starting out to know? 800-642-1234. We're talking about farming on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You can join in, call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's bring in Wendy Cannell. She is Director of Training and Leadership with Wisconsin Farm Bureau. She works closely with the Young Farmer and Agriculturist Program, which is for members ages 18 to 35. Wendy, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
What shifts are you seeing among young farmers who are ready to take on this work?
Yeah, we really see two specific groups of people. The first group of people, what I work with, our members, are those members who are looking to take over their family farm. And so they're looking at ways that they can easily make that transition from one generation to the next. The other group of people that we're seeing are those people who want to become involved in agriculture. Maybe they don't have a family farm to go back to. Maybe they don't really have any farming experience at all, but they really want to become engaged in agriculture. They are looking at growing their own food, owning their own land, and looking at the opportunities that might be available to them within the industry.
You work with people from age 18 years old to 35 years old. What distinctions, what separates that age range from older farmers?
Yeah, when we're looking at this group of people, the millennials, if you want to say that, they're really looking at technology and the technology that's available within the industry. So we look at how they're applying nutrients to their field using technology, how they might be able to milk their cows using robots. So technology plays a huge part in that. This group also has a huge entrepreneurial spirit. So they want to be engaged in business. They're confident, they're collaborative, they love detail. But they're also looking for mentors, so people who have been in agriculture and are willing to share the do's and don'ts, if you want to say, of how they can be successful too.
So are they approaching the planting, the harvesting, the milking from a different vantage point? Where are they coming from?
Yeah, they definitely can look at it from a different vantage point. I think sometimes we get stuck in the rut of, this is how we've always done it, so this is how we're going to continue to do it. But this group of members, this group of individuals, really wants to take a step back and say, how can we be more effective and efficient with what we have and continue to provide a quality product and ensure that our land is available for generations to come? And so they're really, really cognizant and aware of how they can be better farmers. And so they are worried about their future. They're worried about their children's future. And so being able to take a step back and look at how they can be efficient and effective is really, really important to them. They want to take on that responsibility, and they do it with a lot of pride.
People used to learn about farming by living it, living the lifestyle with their families, learning from parents and aunts and uncles and cousins. I look at my mom, who grew up on a farm with 13 siblings. I didn't grow up on a farm. I grew up in an urban area. Now fewer people live on farms. How can our communities provide opportunities to learn about farming?
Yeah, well, if you take a look at maybe your local extension office, or you look at maybe some of your local commodity groups, they are providing opportunities to learn. So if you're looking to maybe start raising bees, your local beekeeper might be a great place to look. And with this group, they're really looking for mentors and people to help them along the way. One of the things that we've been trying to do is provide opportunities with the program through our Lunch and Learn. So on the first Wednesday of every month, we provide educational opportunities for our members, ranging from topics to Discovery Farms, talking about water quality, and we'll also hear from the DatCap Farm Center, who plays an instrumental role in farm transitions and helping people get started in agriculture. It's a free resource for people, for the citizens of Wisconsin to utilize, and so we want to provide those resources. The Lunch and Learns are through webinars, so people can tune in from the comforts of their own home or from their business, take a half hour to learn about something, and gain additional resources. We're noticing that people want to decide when and where they're going to learn, and this is one of the ways that we're able to meet their needs.
Wendy, does farming require a college degree, a two-year degree, or a four-year degree? What education is needed to be a modern farmer?
I think that's a really great question. If you look back generations, you know, if you were going to go back to the farm, no college education was required. And is a college education required now? No, but we have a lot of people who have a two-year technical degree, or maybe they went to a four-year university, and they're taking the business skills that they learned or the agriculture skills that they learned while at school and applying them to the farm. So we're seeing more and more people coming to the farm or starting in farming with some type of degree, which in the end is good and bad. Looking at the flip side of that is a lot of those people are coming into farming with a lot of student debt. And so if you look at farming and the ups and downs of farming and the prices, it's a lot of hard work and there's a lot of uncertainty. So looking at the student loan debt that some of those individuals might be coming in with and trying to manage and maintain a farm plus pay those student loans can be really, really difficult.
Wendy Cannell is with us. She's Director of Training and Leadership with Wisconsin Farm Bureau. We're talking about farming, how younger people, young farmers are getting into it. You can tell us your story about getting into the business and learning to farm at 800-642-1234. Maybe you affectionately call yourself an older farmer. What do you want young farmers today just starting out? What do you want them to know? What is it about farming that motivates you to get up before dawn? Have you considered farming but feel like you can't make it happen? What barriers do you see in raising livestock or plowing fields? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Wendy, farming sometimes has this cliche about it that you're working the land, you're caring for animals around the clock, tough chores, long days, a lot of grit. How do you think leadership skills fit into that narrative for today's farmers?
I think you're exactly right. When we think about farming and farming in Wisconsin, we think about the red barn and the cows outside and outside in the pasture. But the grit and determination that it takes to be involved in agriculture definitely needs to be there. We look at people who are innovative, and can they think outside of the box? Can they look at ways to be more efficient? Let's say they're not really even started in farming yet, but want to. How can they make that happen? And with young farmers, we're seeing that. They have the grit, they have the determination, and they are going to do what they can to make it work for them. It doesn't mean that they need to go out and purchase 200 acres of land and own, you know, 30 head of livestock, but maybe they're just owning 1 or 2 acres of land, and they're going to start with some gardening projects. We have a member in northern Wisconsin who has found a niche market in meat goats, and so she, on her farm, is raising meat goats and selling them to the Minneapolis-St. Paul market, where there is a demand for that. And so looking at avenues that might be available to them is really, really important. And so being able to think outside of the box and put the skills that they know and that they've learned and put them into a business that will work for them is going to be important. And it's important to know, too, that there's room for everybody in agriculture, whether you own 2 acres of land and are raising just a few animals, or if you own 700 acres of land and you have several hundred cows, there's room for everybody. What works for you might not work for your neighbor, but everyone's doing the best that they can with the business plan that they have. And so that's really important to remember as well.
Wendy, we have a listener who emailed and said, I'm in my 20s and I was considering entering organic vegetable farming this year, but the low pay would be too difficult to deal with. The listener said, I'm planning on using my current job in tech to pay for land instead of jumping straight in. What do you think of that approach?
We are hearing that from a lot of people who are just getting started and want to get started, are keeping that second job. So they're able to continue to make some type of income, but then also pursue this other entity that they're interested in. And sometimes it will take several years in order for that to happen, but we're seeing more and more people, especially who are starting small, having those side jobs and then jumping into some aspect of agriculture. With people being more interested in where their food comes from and how their food is grown, we're going to continue to see that trend build, where people are really wanting to grow their own food and be a part of that whole process. The idea that, you know, we planted this, we tended to it, and then we harvested it. And so I don't see that trend going away in the near future. So I definitely think that for us as a agriculture organization, we need to continue to look at ways where we can help those people who are interested in just some of those small ventures be successful.
Wendy, it's not an easy job, though, and it can have less, perhaps, predictability or stability as compared to a job in maybe tech. What stress comes with farming? What can different aspects of the work, when does that become overwhelming?
I think it's different for everybody, and you're exactly right. Prices are very volatile, so you never really know what the price is going to be. The hours that you have to put in, especially if you're working another job, maybe you work 9 to 5 or 8 to 4, and then you have to come home and deal with whatever might be going on at the farm. Take a look at our temperatures and the weather recently. I know a lot of farmers have been struggling with the cold weather, whether it's getting food and water out to their animals and just things freezing up because of the temperatures. It's really, really difficult. And I think the breaking point for every person is going to be different. And that's where I would recommend people really, if they feel like they're at the breaking point, there is a really outstanding resource in Wisconsin in the Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection Farm Center. They provide free resources. They'll take a look at your farm and how it's operating. If you feel like it is getting to be too much, they have people there who are able to talk to you and talk through the situation that you might be in. And so I think it's a resource that is definitely underutilized in Wisconsin, but with volatile markets, this cold weather that we're going through right now, I think it's a resource that everyone should be aware of.
Let's bring in Derek Orth now. He is a dairy farmer from Fenimore and a member of the American Farm Bureau Young Farmers and Ranchers Committee. Derek, welcome to the morning show.
Hi, good morning.
Explain your operation in southwest Wisconsin. What's going on there?
I guess we milk about 300 registered Jerseys. I farm with my parents. My wife helps them, but she also works at the Grant County 4-H Extension Office. We raise all of our own replacements, and we grow most of our crops, but we buy some corn. It's cold this morning. It's -5, according to my car.
It's just another day on the farm. You have to get the work done regardless of the temperature.
That is very true. We don't take a day off.
So you came back to the farm after time away from Wisconsin at another farm. First of all, what did you do in Utah for a year?
At that time, Utah State University had a dairy herdsman program. So I went out there and I worked on a farm, and I went through a 9-month. It's kind of like UW-Madison short course, or just a similar 1-year program for people to learn about dairy and herd health and stuff. I chose Utah just because I wanted to do something different. Everybody thinks of Wisconsin as the dairy state, and a lot of research that we learned from was based out of Wisconsin, but it was something different, and it was cool to see a whole new country, a whole new part of the country.
You're in a family dairy operation, family dairy business. What are the dynamics of, for you, making the decision to enter into a family business and really carry on this business now, I would assume, to the next generation?
I farm with my parents. They started farming as soon as they got married in the 80s and went through the 80s. I always wanted to farm, and because of the way the industry is now, it's hard for young people to get started. So if I wasn't farming with my parents, I probably wouldn't be farming at all. I came home from Utah in 2005, and then we expanded in 2008 to milk more cows to support two families, and I guess I hope we can continue for generations.
You expanded to milk more cows to support two families. That's really interesting. I mean, you were able to grow the business so that you could add more family members.
Exactly.
You have many more years of farming ahead of you. What concerns you even now about the future of farming?
I guess some of my biggest fears are land availability. The earth isn't growing more land, and more is being lost to urban sprawl and development. That continues to be an issue. Probably one of the biggest issues these days is public perception of agriculture. People that have never been on a farm think they know, more about farming than we do, and they feel that they should tell us what we should be doing and how we should be taking care of our livestock and land. And even if it's something they may have heard or read on social media, they think they, I don't know how to word it, they think they know more than we do and think they should tell us how to do what we're doing.
Wendy, jump in here. Does this resonate with you?
Yeah, I think Derek is exactly right. There's a lot of issues facing young farmers, and Derek was right in the fact that land availability, access to land, is very, very difficult. If you're not already in a farming operation, how do you find that land? And then also social media. So what people read on social media or hear from other people, they might think that that's true. And so with that, we are definitely encouraging people to get to know their farmer. Know a local farmer. If you live in an area and want a farm tour, farmers are always open and willing to share what is happening on their farms. And so that is definitely something that is, I would say, hindering the work that people in agriculture are doing.
Wendy Cannell is Director of Training with Wisconsin Farm Bureau. Derek Orth, a dairy farmer from Fenimore. You can join the conversation, 800-642-1234. We'll be back after this news. It's estimated that 30 to 40% of millennials who grew up on the family farm, helping their farming parents, have some type of college education. Millennial farmers are seeking easier access to affordable land. They are in need of capital to get started in farming, and they also carry student debt burden that other millennials have. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about the new generation of farmers and the 2018 Farm Bill. Getting your insights on farming today at 800-642-1234. What should lawmakers negotiating the legislation understand about your farm and your business? Call in or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Kevin Krentz is a dairy farmer from Berlin. He's a member of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Board of Directors. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Well, how did you get into the farming business? Tell us about your career, your trajectory.
So I currently farm right across the road from where I originally grew up. I purchased my father's herd of 60 cows in 1994. And slowly grew that to the current size of 600 cows and somewhat of a newer facility. I built the facility across the road in 1999. It's 20 years old, but it's much newer than the 1950-1960 barn that my father built originally.
Give us a snapshot of a typical day for Kevin. What is your day like?
My day roams from everything from looking at individual cows, managing any health issues of individual cows, to fixing anything that's broke on the farm, to at the end of the day, I'm writing out checks and managing the business side of the farm.
How many people are working with you on the farm?
And that's one of the major reasons why I grew. I have 15 employees, and I grew from the 60 cows because I did not want to be milking cows every day, twice a day, 365 days a year. I wanted to be able to spend time with my family and have time off the farm. And this way, everyone on the farm has the ability to take 2 days off a week. So
everyone can rotate off the production, if you will.
Correct.
What do you see as the greatest challenges facing new farmers today?
Oh, I think it was certainly touched on by your previous callers. Certainly the milk price and commodity prices where they're at is certainly a major issue for farmers. Producing a commodity is unique in that the price pendulum of a commodity is always going to swing over the cost of production. So no matter if a cost of production of milk is $12 or $17, that pendulum is going to swing over that cost of production. So it's a business that needs to be a low cost business in order to produce that commodity at a profitable rate.
Let's bring in Kelly, who joins us from Milwaukee now. Hi, Kelly. Go ahead. Oh, Kelly, are you there? Well, Kelly moved to Wisconsin for farming. And Kelly, are you there now?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Great. Actually, I live in Cascade, Wisconsin. I've been on your call before, and I really appreciate your program. My husband and I kind of hopped around the country. We were in Denver and then went out to Washington to try to get closer to the land and live closer to family. And my husband had been in banking. I'm a therapist. And we decided to try to go down to a single income. He was eager to leave banking. We both have a lot of background, you know, doing outdoor camping, long distance biking, kind of, you know, outdoor exploration. We wanted to be closer to the land, and in the process of doing that, my husband took up cooking because it's cheaper than going out to dinner. It was a way for our family to kind of come back together at the end of the day.
And then Kelly, how has farming worked out for you?
Well, that led its way into farming, and we moved back from Washington to Wisconsin, where my husband's family's from, and decided to buy a small farm here. Within the past year, we bought a 5-acre farm, and we really are starting from scratch, kind of coming into farming knowing nothing. We now have goats and chickens, and we, within the year, want to open up a kind of a farm-to-table cooking school. But really to get people back to the land and have our kids have the experience of living close to the land. I feel like for the future of our just livelihood as people, we are really dependent upon the land. And
Kelly, thank you so much for calling in with your story. And Kevin, there are many avenues into farming. It's not a one-size-fits-all operation.
You're exactly correct. And going back to the farm bill discussion, we need a farm bill that gives options for all of those types of farming.
So the farm bill, it is up for renewal this year. Major piece of agricultural and food policy that's on the table on Capitol Hill. What can federal legislation do to encourage young farmers, new farmers, to enter and continue in agriculture?
Well, there's many avenues of the farm bill that can help a young farmer both come into the business and continue their business. Everybody thinks about crop insurance when they think of the farm bill, and that is the major portion of the farm side of the farm bill, but there's many other things. When you look at the credit title, that helps new farmers get a low interest rate loan, and they also help guarantee some of the collateral for the bank to take on that loan. There's a marketing title that helps in developing small and medium-sized businesses, help develop new markets for their products, both abroad and domestically. There's also research. You had a number of callers that talked about automation and everything from milking cows with robots, and I use satellite imagery of crops and things like that. So we need more research done on the automated side of farming to help continue with the efficiencies. Another title in the farm bill is the rural development. That helps with developing rural broadband, and that is a huge factor in rural Wisconsin. When you're talking connecting the millennials with their consumers on a day-to-day basis on how we grow our food, that's going to be a huge factor in the future of food production is being able to show consumers how we grow food. And rural development and broadband is going to be a huge factor in that.
Let's go to Callie in Waterford. Callie, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think another one issue that we face, not only with crop insurance, but also just the human insurance. Looking at my parents, I grew up on a family farm, and my mom always had to have a part-time job where she could get insurance. And looking into the future, when we want to purchase, or when me and my fiance want to purchase a farm, is the concern is how are we going to be able to get that human insurance and be able to afford it?
Kevin, go ahead.
That is a huge factor, and all farmers are dealing with that because we're self-employed, and insurance is a very high cost at this point. In medical care, the farm bill certainly is going to help on the health insurance side of it, but that's something we need to continue to get involved, either through Farm Bureau and lobbying organizations. We need to continue to help construct laws that help us on a day-to-day basis, and that includes health care.
Let's go to Patty in Lake Mills. Hi, Patty.
I am a dairy farmer as well from Lake Mills, and we milk just right around 450 to 470 cows. And just to follow suit with the other callers, what we're dealing with, I'm 39, so I'm a little bit older than a millennial, and my husband just turned 40, but is land prices, buying land. Every month I pay out like 13 grand for buying land. And then also health care, we pay $12,000 to $15,000 a year for a deductible that's $7,000. So like our income basically goes right back out to pay these debts down. And plus our cows, they're milking beautifully, but the milk price is in bottom lows, like 12 bucks or 12.90. And so those are things that concern us. And it is hard in the morning. I get up at 2:30 in the morning to start my day. And when it's negative 15, it takes a lot to roll out of bed. But in the end, I know my animals are counting on me to go out there and do my job.
Patty, amazing story. Let's get Kevin quickly to respond here as we run low on time.
I agree. It's a very stressful time in farming at this point. And that's all the more important to be a part of any commodity group, because not only it helps you get off the farm to help it, with commodity groups, you can help craft the industry around you, but it also helps you network with other farmers and understand that you're not in the boat alone, and you've got people that are right next, struggling in the same realm as you are.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
Kevin Krentz is a dairy farmer from Berlin. He's a member of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Board of Directors. We started the hour with Phil Durst, a senior educator with Michigan State University Extension, who helps farmers achieve their goals. We heard from Wendy Cannell, who is director of training and leadership with Wisconsin Farm Bureau, and Derek Orth, a dairy farmer from Fenimore. This hour of the morning show was produced by Keely Baltina and Naeja Ellison. Michelle Johnson is executive producer of Mornings. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and this conversation on farming, you find it on the Ideas Network.